miry clay. He set my feet astand to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. God bless you, Brother Grace. On the rock to stay.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. It's a joy to know the Lord. You know, we are so blessed as American citizens with all we have, but yet we see things getting worse and worse and worse, you know. And at least we're not having to endure what they are like in Burma or China or even places in this nation. We're just such a blessed people tonight, even in Tucson. I read this week that they say that Tucson International Airport is one of the worst airports in the world. They haven't been where I've been. But I was just told coming in here by Patricia Baggett, their home was broken into today. You know, stole some cash she had, their mother's dad's jewelry, wedding rings, laptop. You know, it just makes you sick, the invasion, you know. Why? How somebody watches, you know. And then Sandra says two doors down from their house, they was broken into and burglarized today. So all I can say is, lay not up treasures on earth where moss and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But, you know, it's just the invasion of your of what it is, you know. But yet we are so blessed as people, you know, have so much, you know. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Johnny started this off tonight with a song, Make Me More Like Thee. How many of you know that's what the purpose of God is? You know, we've been studying this message, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Now, this is the fourth Wednesday night. And Brother Bram said, God, that was the great eternal God, all-sufficient one, that nobody could even comprehend him. He wanted to reveal himself. And the only way he could do it was to become, because he was a father, he had that attribute in him, he wanted to be a son. Therefore, that was part of the Word, and that Word became flesh, and therefore he manifested himself as Son, and he became Son of Man. But he said that was only two steps of it. The third one was, is he wanted to manifest himself in his people. And he even looked forward and knew the end from the beginning and saw that in the end of time, there was going to be people who were going to claim to know the Son, but they were not going to be able to comprehend the greatness of God manifested in people. As it was with Adam and Eve, they were amateur gods. What they spoke, what they saw, they had everything. And here mankind through the fall, the sin of them, because, and he made them so they could, not so they would, so that he can manifest himself as a Savior. Amen. When you think about it, it's just, it had to be an almighty God with all knowledge and all attributes to even comprehend such a plan. Yes. That everything was perfect, and yet in him there was this desire to be a father, to be a Savior, to be a healer. But there was nothing for him to heal. There was nobody for him to save. And yet, him being a Savior, he wanted to die for that. Can you comprehend that? But then that wasn't it. He said, okay, they're going to go through that, but then I'm going to have a people that's going to be restored like it was in the beginning. And he looked and he said, now, they'll never just do that by being their own. I'm going to have to do something special. And he started talking to about a prophet restoring things. And he ends up the Old Testament in Malachi, that he will restore things, turn the hearts of the children back to that of the fathers. And when Jesus is on earth and he talked to him about it, he said, yes, Elijah's going to come and he's going to restore all things. He's going to correct those things that are going great. And he's going to show them how to be sons and daughters of God. Amen. And you and I are the recipients of that.
Amen.
They're going to understand all the mysteries. But if they don't have love, it's not going to do them any good.
Amen.
And how long have we had this sermon? Since 1963? And I think Brother Branham sort of sums everything up in it. And to me, I read it and it just paints the picture so plain. But yet, in this message, there's things that come out that people say, well, you don't see it because you're not predestinated. Brother Branham, it talks about Paul when he got this revelation. He became such a prisoner of Jesus Christ that he became so much like Christ that people wanted to take his clothing and place it on the sick. And the evil spirits would depart from them.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, he got that from Elijah. Elijah was a man, and he was so obedient to God that he'd take his staff and later on the man came back to life. He said the Apostle Peter, he could just foretell a few things and pray for people. And they got to the place where they had so much confidence in that he'd been with the Lord that he just walked down the streets of Jerusalem and his shadow inspired them.
Amen. Yes, so true.
And Brother Branham said, isn't this what God promised in the end time he'd have? And he mentions Malachi 4.
Right. Right.
He promised to restore. And I believe Brother Branham caught it in the audience. Because Brother Branham said, this is what it is that those that's predestinated, they understand that this is God restoring this to people. And there were people sitting at an audience that said, oh, that's him, that's him. And Brother Branham said, now this is not me, for me personally, it's not just for you, it's for God and his church. And I want you to see that in this message tonight. Brother Branham said, I'm just not speaking this for myself, and this is not just you. This is Christ in his church. And you see, I've always told these people, if you would believe for yourself what you're claiming for Brother Branham, I'd agree with you 100%.
Yes. Amen.
I believe this is Christ in us.
Amen.
That's the mystery of God now.
Amen.
So when we sing, make me more like thee, and to be like Jesus, that's exactly what the purpose is. That threefold purpose, great God Almighty Jehovah wanted to reveal himself. He did that in Jesus Christ when that word became flesh. He became the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he told his disciples, I'm going to go away and this is in me going to come live in you.
Yes,
and everybody says, oh, we're glad to have the Spirit of God in us. But see, no, that's not the full restoration. The full restoration is to go back. And you know what? When he gets a people that can occupy it, he's going to purify this world, make it just like the Garden of Eden again.
Yes.
And you know, this has come to me last week and again this week. We keep talking about going to heaven. We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, wherever that is. And Brother Branham says in here, I may never see you again, but I'm telling you the marriage supper of the Lamb is at hand.
Yes. Amen.
Have you got your invitation? You understand that?
Amen.
Or are you making ready to go there? And then after the marriage supper of the Lamb, are we going to go someplace where there's going to be streets of gold and gates of pearl? No, we're going to come back here. And who's going to bring us back?
Amen.
He going to be on a white horse. When you was a kid, didn't you want a white horse? Wonder where kids got this desire to have this white horse. Well, did you know we're all going to get one?
Amen.
You didn't know that was a God-given desire, did you? Now, some may have wanted a black horse or a paint pony or something, you know, but... You know, every little boy and girl dreams of riding a great big white horse one of these days. And Brother Branham said, Revelation 19 is the Lord Jesus Christ himself come back on a white horse with all of his saints on white horses behind him.
Amen.
To do what? Set up his millennial kingdom.
Right.
What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, he can't come now in a corporal body, but he'll come back then in a corporal body. Now, in this message, we've seen, and we all know people who've taken this, and they make Brother Branham say this, make him say that, and I want to share this with you because this is where it comes up in this message. It's April about 1980 or 81. It's the last time we had a minister's meeting worldwide. And I invited them all to come here. They were our guests. And we had about over 200 ministers right here for 5 days. And I gave every brother who wanted to an opportunity to get up and say what he wanted to say for an hour, hour and a half, and none of the other brothers could interrupt him. And then if they had any questions, they wrote them out, and I read them, and then we gave that brother an hour to answer them. And we heard all kind of things. We had one here that he was the fifth Elijah. And we had some brothers who got up and said that they believed Brother Branham was going to come back. And he's coming back, and his return ministry, and he's going to have a tent. He's going to put it up here and here and here and here. He had to kill a bear. He had to get shot. And everything they did. And I asked the question, brothers, give me one quote. You don't have to give me two. Give me one quote where Brother Branham says he's coming back from the dead. Well, one of them stood up and says, I got it. So we let him read the quote, and it's from this sermon, and that's going to be right at the end of it tonight. Brother Branham said very plainly, I'm going to come back once again. And he said that, and I said, is that all? Yes, sir. Brother Branham said he's going to come back once again. Well, when I read the sermon, I said, well, let's let Brother Branham say it for us. So we got the tape, and Brother Murray queued it up, and we let Brother Branham about a half a page before and a half a page after. And then I took a vote. Do you brothers believe that Brother Branham is coming back from the dead, or is he coming back to his subject? In just a paragraph above that, he's talking about silly women laden with divers lust and shorts and bobbed hair and everything else, led away with divers lust and say it's all right. Oh, they're crazy out there. See, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then for a paragraph, Brother Branham talks about Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and but their folly would be made known when Jesus takes his bride and sets her up here and says, this is her, and away he goes with her. That's right. Their folly would be made known. And then Brother Branham said, now, I'm going to come back once again. I was not going to say it. I'm pointing to it. The tapes say it. And those that are going across, and they leave that right there. Now, if you're going to go across, you got to hear if it's him coming back again. But what Brother Branham does, he goes back to his subject of bobbed-haired women. And the tape goes across the world. You women, they claim you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not the audacity to let your hair grow out. When the Bible condemns it and said a man's got a right to put away his wife in divorce if she bobs her hair and honored before God to do so. The Bible says if she cuts her hair, she dishonors her head.
Amen.
And then I took a vote. 195 brothers said he's coming back to his subject. 5 preachers adamantly said, no, sir, he's coming back from the dead. And I can tell you who those 5 are. And they still believe it today. And as a result, Brother Green, not a message believer. And 3 of them lives in this city. And you want to know why they won't fellowship me? Right there. You know, he came to me day before yesterday. You know the reason the Romans were afraid of Jesus? What would you do if the commanding officer could raise the dead every time a soldier died? You wouldn't want to fight him. What would you do if the commanding officer could feed his army with one little lunch bucket? How could you ever defeat him? You couldn't starve him. What if your commanding officer could turn water to wine? You could certainly entertain the troops. You wouldn't want to come up against an army, even if there was only 10 men. So people have got their mind made up. If they can't defeat you, they're going to find some way to do away with you. And they're going to say, well, you just don't have a revelation.
Right.
You're just not predestinated to understand this. And to me, that's a cop out. They can't read plain English. And they take so much out of it. And so all I can say is they're not predestinated to see it in a balanced way. But I'm not willing to say they're not going to make it.
Right.
But they are happy to say we're not going to make it. But I want you people to hear this and hear Brother Branham say this. But I want you to know that you can understand this mystery to the friend. But if you can't love those people, you don't have it. And it's not just to say, well, they're my brothers and sisters. I want us to learn how to be good for them. I've had to deal with some very serious marriage and divorce cases lately. And it's one of those cases, you know, where the woman made a mistake and her husband found out about it. And I want to know who he was and what he did. And my question to him was, are you willing to forgive her? Brother Branham said if Sister Branham made a mistake, he'd forgive her.
Yes. Yes. Right.
And he said, I believe if I made a mistake, she'd forgive me.
Amen.
You know, the reason we can confess our faults to Jesus is because we know he'll forgive us.
Right. Yes.
But why do you want to confess to somebody you know that's going to use it to kill you?
Amen. Right.
Why do you want somebody to confess it to you if you're not going to forgive them? And if you're going to forgive them, what's the necessity for you to know all the embarrassing details?
Right.
If a person's jealous, there's not any attribute virtue about that.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it's stinking, dirty, rotten, yellow jealousy. You had somebody say, well, you did it. Why? What do you want, another pound of flesh? Let me tell you, whatever you desire, for anybody else to pay a price for you to forgive them, God's going to require that same thing of you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, I never committed adultery. No, but you lied. You stole. You thought things wrong.
Yes, right.
We got some way to grow.
Amen.
But I believe Jesus Christ that knew it all forgave us.
Yes.
You know why? Because he'd already paid the price. He'd already shed his blood. And you listen tonight. Brother Branham says those people that are going to be restored, it's because Jesus had already redeemed them by his shed blood.
Amen.
And if he loved them enough, Dale, to shed his blood, can I sit here and say Dale can't be forgiven? If Jesus Christ foreknew him and said, I'll forgive Dale.
Right.
Would you want to hold that in your heart against somebody? I don't think you want to.
Amen.
Now, we've got this one, and then there's two more to go. And each one of them is 45 minutes, about 45 minutes long. But I want you to pay attention tonight to this as we let Brother Branham speak to us for about 45 minutes. We're going to start on page 45 in the red-bound volume. What paragraph is that? Did you get the paragraph?
Yeah.
What paragraph was it?
That's the same one. That's the same as the book.
It's 45, page 3, but you don't have the paragraph number?
What's the James number?
I should get a book that's got this sermon with paragraph numbers. I know it starts at 304, but I don't know where it ends. But let's stand and sing Only Believe tonight. And this shouldn't be a mystery. By now, you and I should be living this part, huh? Only believe.
Lord, come tonight. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. You believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
You may be seated. I read an article this afternoon in one of the prophetic magazines that comes out about Israel. And in there it had an article. It said, there's nothing impossible with the God of Israel.
Amen.
In the name of all the things that's against them right now and all the accusations and Iran and all the Arabs and everything else. And this man just simply said, what is impossible with the God of Israel?
Right.
He's able to turn the whole thing around. He did it every time in the scriptures, you know. And now I ask you and I, what is impossible for our God to do for us? Brother Dale came in tonight with a stack of quotes, which I'll get into and bring them to you Sunday. But it goes back to 56 when Brother Branham went up to that Lutheran seminary up there in Minneapolis. And they gave him a banquet. And this man had written Brother Branham a 22-page letter, called him a soothsayer. And Brother Branham was invited there, and Brother Branham went. And at the banquet, he told them, push their plates back, take their seats, put them against the walls, get on their knees, raise their hands, and start seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham says it not once, but at least a dozen times. 72 people received the Holy Ghost. Now, one of those was Archie Martin. You know, do we believe that God can do the same thing today?
Yes.
Then I'm going to tell you to go home tonight. Get down beside your bed, stick your head in the corner of the closet somewhere, and say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus, let me be a prisoner of you like Paul was.
Yes. Right.
All right. I could preach tonight, but it's okay. God bless you. Watch God's great revelation unfolding. Let's don't make it completely dark in here. Let's leave on some of the lights, okay?
Watch God's great revelation unfolding. By lack of this revelation is why we have so many different divisions among us, and so much mockery, so much division among us is because the people lack that revelation. They lack that revelation, the teachers. Paul, after his great revelation of Christ, said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, be sure to read that as you write it down. Watch. Oh, he said, I ever come to you with wisdom. Look at that man who did have the wisdom. Look at that man who had the scholarship. I never come to you with them kind of a words. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Oh, I wish, well, let's just read it. Can you stand a minute and let's read just a verse or two? I just like to read it so you wouldn't be, can get even the people on the tape to turn back to it anyhow, give them a chance. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Listen to this great apostle here, Paul, the intellectual servant of God. Let's look at here. I, Paul, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I never said I'm Dr. So-and-so. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my beseeching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of the power. There, see, there's the gospel. See? Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. Didn't say go teach, he said go preach. In other words, demonstrate the power, and these signs shall follow them. Just teaching doesn't do it. It takes the actual Spirit itself demonstrating these signs. Listen to this. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Oh my, see, to change the man. Not in what I can explain away and say he's not the same when he is the same. Amen. If I do that, it shows to me, it surely a man tell me that would show to me he don't have the revelation, the threefold revelation of God. See? Now, and high be it in weakness among you that are perfect, yet we're not with the wisdom of the world, but of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery. See? The threefold mystery of God. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. None of the priests, rabbis, or anything knew anything about it. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You said you're wrong about rabbis and preachers there who crucified him.
Amen.
Oh, on and on and on we could go read it.
Yes. See?
On. Save time because we got just not getting late yet, but we got plenty here to say if the Lord will help us. Now, lack of this. Now, and Paul, this great intellectual man, never tried to express his great theological terms upon the people. He humbly accepted the word of the Lord, and he lived the word so it expressed to him. He lived so godly until they seen Jesus Christ in him so much that they wanted his handkerchief to take and lay it upon the sick. There's the life of Christ. Now, while some say, oh, you see, Elijah done that long time ago, laid his stick, but oh, that was the days of Elijah. Now, the world thought that. The intellectual priests and things in churches of that day thought that, but the unbelievers, they know different. They seen the revelation of Christ that was in Elijah, the same thing was in Paul. Expressed the same kind of life because he was a prophet.
Yes.
He foretold things that happened exactly the way it was, and they know that was God's identification of a prophet. And they know that he was God's prophet. You couldn't shake him from it at all. Even when they seen Peter foretell those things and come to pass, they said, just let his shadow pass over me.
Amen.
Amen. That's the church. That's the ones that believe it. Yes, sir. It was revealed by, why did Paul say, because I got a PhLLD, so forth, they believe me? No, he said, I forgot all those things, the wisdom of man said had to die. Now I know him in the power of his resurrection. That's what I come to you at. For the demonstration of God's power. What was it? Making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same works that Jesus did, Paul did the same, and they seen God, the great Father, that had demonstrated in the burning bush, had demonstrated to Paul, and here it was being demonstrated, and he's the same in every age, God's threefold manner, yesterday, today, and forever. What Redeemer in his church preeminence in the coming kingdom.
Amen.
You see it? Just as perfect as it can be. All notice. The Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the divine revelation of Christ.
Hallelujah.
There's no school can do it. No scholar can do it. No man, how well educated, how godly, or anything else is, no man can do it.
Amen.
I could sting hard here. How many Christians born again? Raise up your hands, filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, here we go then. All right. Notice. And he will only do it to the predestinated.
Hallelujah. Amen.
All the Father has given me will come, and no man can come except the Father has given him to me first.
Amen.
Look at that priest said, this man's Beelzebub, he's a fortune teller, he's a devil. That little old woman walking around there living with six husbands. She lived with five and had the sixth one then. And Jesus said, go get your husband, come here. She said, I have no husband. Said, yes, you've got six. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. She said, sir, what? That light struck that seed.
Amen.
When it struck that priest, they said, this man is a fortune teller. See? No life there, hybrid. You come up as far as the organization, but died from their own. But this woman's not a hybrid.
Glory.
Said, sir, I perceive, I can see her big pretty eyes shine up like that, tears running down her cheeks. Said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. I'm looking for a Messiah. And when that Messiah comes, he'll do this very same thing. He'll tell us these things. He said, I'm he. Oh, Lord, she left her pot. Here he is. Come see a man who's told me the things. What was it? That light struck that seed. That life was there. It come forth. Same thing today. But the theologian said, now wait just a minute. I'll find out if so-and-so Pastor Moody said or... What's Pastor Moody got to do with this day?
Amen.
Pastor Moody lived in his day, but not now. Certainly. Luther lived in his day, but not in the day of Wesley. Wesley lived in his day, not in the day of Pentecost. Pentecost lived in their day, but they're a long ways from this. We're in the last hour. Sure. There are organizations and scruples that proves that it's not there. The word has never been correctly vindicated, just only in its strength. Seeds, denominations, and it make denomination. And it put that old Jimson weed seeds in with that genuine wheat. Died right out. Crop went to Jimson.
All
right. Right. Green briars and nettles.
Hallelujah.
See? Went on back to that. It died right out. Then they broke the field up and started over again, planting some real seeds. And some of them come up and choked it out. But then God said in his last days, he'd bring out a people.
Amen.
Washing his blood.
Amen.
And they were predestinated to be there. They've got to be there.
Amen.
God said so.
Amen.
And he would reveal. And the very sign I was, Malachi 4, and what he would do, restore back again.
Hallelujah.
Bring back in the last days
praise
his great
God.
Things. And he promised to bring the revelation. What is he to do, Malachi 4? Was to bring back the faith of the fathers to the children. See? That's right. To bring that same thing, the same pillar of fire in on the scene. The same signs, the same wonders, the same Jesus. Making him the same, preaching him the same, vindicating him the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I will restore, saith the Lord. All the years that the Methodist worm and the caterpillar worm and the Baptist and the Catholic and all them worms eat that faith down to become a denominational stump where there's no seeds left in there, but I will restore again, saith the Lord. All the years, all the signs and wonders that they've forsaken, I'll take it right back to that original tree again, and I will restore it, saith the Lord. That prophet was a vindicated prophet.
Amen.
His words has to come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost alone is the revealer of the divine revelation of Christ and has been in all ages. Remember, all ages, who did the word of the Lord come to?
Amen.
Prophet alone.
Amen.
That's right. Is that right?
Amen.
And the prophet
Amen.
Had to be vindicated first.
Amen.
Not because he said he was a prophet. Because he was born a prophet and proved to be a prophet.
Amen.
And everything he said was exactly on the word and come to pass. Then everything else let go. See?
Amen.
It was the word of the Lord came only by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the man of old moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See? Wrote the word. Look, John the Baptist would never have known Jesus if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost pointing him out.
Amen.
That right?
Amen.
John the Baptist. That great prophet that come forth and said, there's one standing among you right now. There's an ordinary man standing here somewhere. That's the Lamb of God. John said that I bear record, I saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, descending from heaven like a dove, and it went upon me, and a voice said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm pleased. What was it? The Holy Ghost that I pour him out. That's the only way you'll know him today. Only way you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost, and the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. If it don't, you'll never see it.
Hallelujah.
If you're not predestinated to see it, you'll never see it, because that light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it. And explain it away with some intellectual conception when the very God himself manifesting himself and proving it. See? But if it ain't up on you to see it, you won't see it. God never just said, I'll choose this one, choose that one, but he knew by his reason he could predestinate because he's infinite, and he knows he's infinite, so therefore he knows everything. He knows the end and could tell the end from the beginning. He's God. If he can't do that, he's not God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. He's infinite. All right. John would have never known him. No, sir, had the Holy Ghost not poured out. See how God hides his mystery? To the high educated and everything. Look, every one of them people saying, and simplicity reveals it to whom he has predestinated to see it.
Amen.
Look there. Others standing by never even seen the dove. They never heard no voice. For it was only sent to that predestinated seed. Predestinated,
Amen.
Certainly was predestinated.
Amen.
Well, Isaiah 712 years before he was born. In the spirit, raised up out of these human senses, and said, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his way. Then if Isaiah could see it, couldn't Malachi see the same thing? Well, predestinated last prophet, the sealing off all the prophets of the Old Testament, that man, that great prophet standing there at the end of the age.
Amen.
He says he's predestinated. Certainly he was. Malachi saw him too. Jesus said, if you can receive it, this is he who has spoken of, I send my messenger before my face, Malachi 3, to prepare the way before me. See, sure he was predestinated to see that message. No wonder he could look out and see that dove coming down, that light that was in the wilderness with Israel, coming, moving down, the God himself saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in, God and man becoming one. I bear witness, John said, I beheld him, the only begotten of the Father.
Amen.
I'm a witness of it. Amen.
Oh,
there you are.
Hallelujah.
Simplicity with an old preacher. His father was a great theologian, you know. He come out of a school, looked like he'd went back to his father's denomination. That wouldn't have been the will of God. When God touched him at his birth back there, he received the Holy Ghost 3 months before he was born.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When Mary went up there and little John was 6 months old in his mother's womb and had never, them little muscles had never moved yet. And Mary was afraid. The little muscles were growing, but she couldn't feel no life. Elizabeth, his mother, rather. And when Mary come up and grabbed her and hugged her, put her arms, laid hands on her. That's it. God has spoke to me. And I'm going to have a baby too. Are you and Joseph married? No. Mary, how can this be? The Holy Ghost shall overshadow me. Now be created in me.
Amen.
Now I shall call his name Jesus. He'll be the Son of God. And as soon as that word Jesus spoke, little John began to leap and shout and jump down in his mother's womb. She said, blessed be the Lord God. Well, whence comes the mother of my Lord? The mother of my Lord, oh my. Whence comes the mother of my Lord? For as soon as your salutation come into my ears, my baby leaped in the womb for joy. No wonder he didn't want no seminary. Something to indoctrinate him with something or other. He had an important job. He was a man of the wilderness. Went out into the wilderness and waited. God told him out there, said, now reveal to him. Oh, there's your revelation again. Now I'll tell you who he is. You're a prophet. The word's to you. You know who you are. You've got to come. That answers the question from last Sunday. See? You know who you are, John. Keep yourself quiet. Don't say nothing. Go on out there. And when you see this one, there'll be a sign coming from heaven like a light. A dove will come down. That'll be him when you see him. That's the reason when Jesus walked out in the water, John looked over and he seen that dove coming down. He said, behold the Lamb of God. There he is. He's the one that'll take away the sin of the world. Jesus walked right straight out in the water to him. Them two eyes of John met them two eyes of Jesus. They were second cousins by flesh. Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. Their eyes met one another. There was God in his prophet. Amen. Stand there. John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why come thou to me? Jesus said, suffer to be so now. But remember, thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. Why did John do it? Because he was the sacrifice. John was a prophet. He knew. And the sacrifice has got to be washed before it's presented. And he suffered him and he baptized him. And when he had lo, the heavens open. Oh, my.
Amen.
That dove come down upon him. And the boy said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. King James puts it, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. So it's just the way you want to turn it around. Same thing. Dwell in. This is my beloved son, in whom I am pleased to dwell, or to dwell in. Either one you want to put it. Same thing. All right. We see then it was revealed to him. Others stand there, didn't hear nothing about it. The Holy Ghost alone reveals it. Same. When he reveals himself to Paul, another predestinated seed. There was Paul going around. He might have said, if I get a hold of that bunch, I'll tear them to pieces because I'm Dr. Saul. I'll come up under Gamaliel. I'll come from the Moody Bible or some other one. See, I'm a scholar. I know what I'm talking about. I'll tear that bunch of holy rollers to pieces. I tell you, great Holy Father, you just give me the permission to go down there and I'll arrest every one of them noisemakers down there. All this divine healing stuff. We'll stop it. Put it in his pocket and said, I'm on the road down. That day, about 11 o'clock in the day, a light showed in his face and he fell to the earth. Why, he was a predestinated seed. God said, I have chose him. I'm going to show him what great things he'll suffer for my name's sake. I'll send him to the Gentiles and disgrace him in every way that they can be disgraced. But yet he'll bear my name. Paul went down there until he got all of his ecclesiastical stuff cut off of him down to the backside of the desert for 3.5 years down there in Arabia until he learned the Word and the Word become he and he become a prisoner. Here he come back in chains of love. Oh, my seminary experience is gone. I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Amen. Philemon, my brother, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I only can speak and say what he tells me. God needs prisoners today.
Hallelujah.
That'll prison yourself to His will, to His Word. That's what Paul was. No matter how much intellectual he learned, he had known God by revelation.
Yeah.
The intellectual went all the way out of business then when the revelation come, which upon the rock the church is built. Yes, sir. Notice, he was a predestinated seed. The Holy Ghost alone shows you who He is. There's no man, they'll make you Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and everything else out of it. See? But the Holy Ghost will reveal Him as the Lord God of heaven made manifest. That is, oh, Him. Now notice, not prophets, not kings, not nothing else, but here, for the first time, God was revealed in Christ in the fullness of the Godhead bodily in human flesh. That's the revelation. Oh, my. I'm going to sing you a verse now. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. Are they? The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile church denomination. Their days are numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O dispersed, to your own. You're kicked out of them. The day of redemption is near. Man's hearts are failing for fear. All their Hollywood jokes ain't covering up like a little boy whistling going by the graveyard at night. Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying. God's word they're denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. That's right. This generation spurns God's revelation, but we're walking where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Man's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Get the revelation, brother. This generation spurning God's revelation. See? False prophets are doing that. By their fruits you shall know them. They're hybrid. They're bred into an organization instead of the Word of God, the revelation of God revealing Himself through Christ who is the Word. Oh, my. We could stop here, but if... Get again when I come back. If you want to, you want to go ahead. That's
Amen.
A, just a little. I'll hurry. So, but take time enough that you got some time to rest after this.
Amen.
All right. Same. Notice that predestinated seed. The Holy Ghost alone shows you who He is. No prophets, no kings, and here God is manifested in flesh. Here is the fullness. He is completely revealed and made known to the world. Oh, my. Look on Mount Transfiguration when the testimony of God Himself. This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. There stood Moses representing the law. There stood Elijah representing the prophets. But they passed away and He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. There's three represented there. The law, the prophets, and Christ. And He said, this is Him. God fully not manifested in the prophets, not manifested by law, but manifested in Christ. He is. Christ has mercy. The law put you in jail, but couldn't get you out.
Yeah.
The prophets is God's justice to condemn you and kill you for it. That's right. But Jesus is God's love and revelation to let know to a predestinated seed that He'd called you. This is Him. Hear Him. No, the fullness of Godhead is made known. This secret of mystery is now revealed that God is manifested. God and man become one. The anointed man, Christ. What does Christ mean? The anointed one. The anointed that was anointed with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, my. How can people doubt it? Where once partly Moses had Him, partly David had Him. Oh, my. But here He is manifested in the fullness, deity Himself standing on earth. God in His fullness to die for the sin of the people that He might bring to His church a sanctified life that He might have the preeminence and fullness in His church to manifest every promise in these last days that He promised for the last days.
Yes.
See, what was, listen now, are you, just pinch yourself a little now. What was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come. He that was, he that is, and he that's to be in this day. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose. And through that purpose, he achieved the church. That he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days when he gets the preeminence. Preeminence in the church. The position, his place in the church. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See? That was his purpose. There was a manifestation. And now today, he wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the Word, see, Jesus so seen it, so was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation. God revealed. Now, he sanctified with his Spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in this last day be revealed. Now, I see he could go back and pick up what these other fellows has left off here in the last days and by his Holy Spirit reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. Amen. See? He's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. Amen. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. Amen. First to express himself in Christ and then express himself to the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word.
Yeah.
And the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. Amen. But when they accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it?
Amen.
It's grounded. And it causes a short and blows views. But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall ye do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass. Behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there will be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead deity through his church. Have the preeminences in this church. Oh my. What, the anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down in Adam. Coming back with the anointing of the Word because he said, my Word is Spirit.
Amen.
Anointed with the Word, what Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept. See how that hybrid condition again? Just exactly what he done Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this and don't you do that and you can do this and that. And Satan said, oh, you know. But she turned around and listened to him. But the Eve in the last day is not going to do it because she predestinated not to do it. Mr. God's going to do it. He knows. He said his spot church would be there without spot or a wrinkle. She's going to stand there in the splendor of him, his Word made manifest. She'll be a token to the world. She'll be something to the world that the world can look and say, well, the rest of the world say, ah, she's a holy roller. She's the second cousin. She don't belong to our group. I know that's a good thing. She belongs to this group up here. A man said the other day to me, stand talking, and said, well, what denomination do you belong to? I said, none. What? None. I said, I belong to a kingdom. How do you join that? You don't join it. You're born in it. What kingdom is that? I said, the mythical body of Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we're baptized into this body, born of His Spirit. Then we belong to a kingdom. And our lives are not Americans. We're not Germans. We're not nothing. We're Christians. We are settled and walk in the Spirit of love, slave from the things of the world and our rights to the world. We sold out and bought this pearl of great price and walk and let the Holy Spirit manifest itself. That's what His real church is. That's what you are, what I am, if we'll let ourselves go and serve God and by His Word and not by what some creed says. Notice, the anointed man, the Christ Himself, here God is made known. But now, look, but now, wow, He has the preeminences. God fully manifested in Jesus Christ. God's great secret of His revelation, this great light of revelation has always blinded the wisdom of this world. In the days of Jesus Christ when He's here on earth, they had blinded them. They said, well, you even make yourself God. You make yourself equal with God. He was not only equal with God, he was God himself.
Amen.
See, they don't get it. And by the way, some of you might, I've heard infidels one time told me that Jesus never did say he was the Son of God. He sure did. He certainly did. You just don't know your Bible. What did he say to the woman at the well?
That's right.
What did he tell her? I know Messiah cometh. And when he comes, he'll do these things. He said, I'm he.
Amen.
He speaks to you. And to Paul also, in different one. Notice, but now the church has the premise. God's great secret has always blinded the wisdom of the world. They can't get it. They just don't understand it. Satan don't understand it. None of the rest of them understands it. But just those who are predestinated to understand it. How God and Christ are one. They'll make him three every time. They certainly will. Notice. Next, secondly, the manifested Christ in you, the hope of glory. That great manifested God in Christ, now Christ manifested in you. We'll hurry. Look, what was once God's great secret, great mysterious secret in his mind, is now put in the hearts of the believer, that is the body of Christ. What was God's once great secret in his mind before the foundation of the world is now made manifest. I'm sure we don't get it. Well, I can't see it the way I ought to, and I'm sure you don't, see? But God's great mystery, what the eternal God had as a mystery, has now been unfolded in Jesus Christ and given right down to his church.
Amen.
What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. Jesus making love to the church, his bride. Whispering secrets to her. You know how you tell your wife things? You know, the little girl you're going to marry, you love her so much, you just tell her the secrets and get her up next to you and love you and everything. You know how it is? That's what God, Christ, is doing to the church. See? He's letting her know the secrets, just the secrets. Not these flirters, I mean his wives. All right. Now, look. No, by having the revelation of his secret made known to them by his grace. How the grace of God, people. I know it. I hope you don't think this sounds personal to a bunch of people or this, that, but the secret that God is sharing with the whole church, if they would just receive it.
Amen.
See? It doesn't mean just me or just you. It means the church that he's trying to get into it. And you say, well, why don't they receive it? They can't receive it. He said again, he said these things. And how could it? Because Isaiah said they can't see it. See? And he's always said, the prophet Paul said, in the last days the people will be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good, heady, high-minded. See? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for this is the kind that goes from house to house and leads silly women, lay it away with divers lusts, with shorts and bobbed hair and everything else, led away with divers lusts and say it's all right. Oh, they're crazy out there. Don't feel. See? Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And these men resisted it, and Jambres withstood Moses, able to produce a church and produce a group of people. Just said, but their folly will be made manifest when Jesus takes his bride and sets her up here and says, this is her, and away he goes with her.
Right.
Their folly will be made known. Look at having the revelation of this secret made known to them by his grace. Look, when this great revelation, revealed mystery, is made known to you, then you denounce all the things of the world.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to come back once again. I might as well say it, I'm pointing to it, the tape, Satan. And those that are going across this tape goes across the world. See? You women that claim you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not the audacity to let your hair grow out. When the Bible condemns it and said a man's got a right to put away his wife in divorce if she bobs her hair, honored before God to do so. The Bible says she cuts her hair, she dishonors her head.
Amen.
And it's a common, just know what any old common thing is for a woman to even pray with bobbed hair.
Amen.
Right? Wearing shorts and these slacks and things, the Bible said any woman that'll, you say, put on a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination to God.
Amen.
Filthy, dirty, like an old stinking bathroom somewhere, see? Oh my, the filth in God's nostrils. And then you try to pray or offer up prayers and such a thing as that, God refuses and turns it away. Well, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Bram, you're talking about the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the full revelation of God. God ever says anything, you can never change it. He all magnifies it, not change it. The law was magnified, not changed. Magnified. Whosoever commits adultery shall be guilty of death, but whosoever now magnified looketh upon a woman to lust after her. He never changed the commandment. He magnified it. remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy one day in the week. Now he magnified it. Rest comes from keeping the Spirit of God. Precept upon precept and line upon line, here a little and there a little, hold fast that what's good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and that is the rest.
Amen.
That's the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And yet they would not hear it and wipe their heads and walked away through their denominations. Mm-hmm. This is the refreshing. See, magnifying the Sabbath day to you Sabbatarians and so forth. Oh my, you don't change, he magnifies it. Hell has spread her gates to receive them. Now, you can see now the end time message. Why it's rejected. Can you?
Yes.
Now, no denomination but the revelation of his mystery. See, no denomination, the revelation. God's not known by denomination, he's known by revelation. Look,
amen.
God in his body, Christ.
Amen. How many believe that?
Yes.
I say this, there's no way that we can give ourselves this revelation. But I believe that God has provided everything that we need to understand it. And if we'll get rid of our own carnal ideas and let the Holy Spirit have preeminence and learn to follow that leading, we'll become a people we want to become.
Amen.
And nothing is impossible with the God of Israel.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible. And if God, if this was his plan and his purpose to have not just his son, not just his prophets, but to have a people blood washed, bought, redeemed,
amen,
we can be that kind of people. These people say, well, you can't be like that. That is anti-word. They're saying God is not able to take you, a sinner, born in this world, shaped in iniquity, come into this world speaking lies, and make you a son and daughter of God. Now, as many as ordained unto eternal life believed. Acts 13:48. I believe we were ordained to be a people that could comprehend and obey and live this life of Jesus Christ manifested in us so that people could see Jesus Christ manifested today. I appreciate God's plan, don't you? Let's stand and sing, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I mentioned a moment ago, or a half hour ago, about the 72 that received the Holy Ghost up at the Lutheran Seminary. I got a call from Richard Wilson today, and now there's 15 more in the Bible class. It's past 50 now. Now, if that was happening in a local church, we'd call that revival. Richard told me today, he said, Brother Green, the letters that you wrote, he said they're all taking it so personal. He said they're walking around with their Bibles, and everybody won't know, what is this? And they're reading their Bibles because they read here, and look, this is what this means. And I encouraged them to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know what? I believe that the Holy Ghost can take that word, and every predestinate seed there is going to become a light.
Amen.
And a lamp. And you know what this is doing? This is making Richard Wilson live up to what he's always said he believed. Three of the men are in his same pod. He's with them all the time. So he's being forced to live. He's a prisoner. God help us with our own lives, will you? Excuse me, I don't mean to just overemphasize this, but if this was happening in a local church or our church, anywhere else, I'd be happy about it to know there's 15 ungodly men who are been dope addicts or murderers or criminals or whatever it is, and right now they've got their face turned toward God. That makes me feel good. The angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. So, by the way, the chaplain's name was on his list today. He said, please send me everything. So I got quite a box to send him. His name is Butler. He's a black man. So please pray for him.
Amen.
I just we'll see what God does. And so far, everyone I've heard said, come see us. One of these days, the Lord willing, maybe I'll get to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you as you go tonight. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. I love you. I adore you. Maybe I need to say something about Billy Wiggins' church coming this weekend. We got a list today. There's 20 of them. And they'll be over at Sunset Mountain in Wilcox about noon Friday. And they expect to be here probably 7 or 8 o'clock at night. They're going to be very tired because they're going to be driving all night Thursday night and Friday and sleep Friday night. And so we're going to let them sleep in on Saturday morning and have them breakfast somewhere. Then we're going to give them a city tour in Sabino on Saturday. And it's just, I don't want to have a schedule we have to meet or anything. So we're going to give them one meal Saturday, and it'll either be at Golden Corral or First Cafeteria where we won't have a schedule to meet. And then I imagine by the time we get through with them Saturday night, they're going to be ready to go to bed. They'll be here in service with us Sunday morning. Then that afternoon you can have fellowship with these families, you know. There's none of Brother Wiggins' family coming except one of his aunts, his father's sister. There's three couples with children. There's two 26-year-old boys coming, plus Billy. There's one 12-year-old girl, one 10-year-old boy, one 3-year-old boy. There's two babies. One of them's one of them's 6 months. And then their mothers and fathers. There's three elderly ladies coming and one 37-year-old lady. And we're going to be able to sleep them all in the Castro house, upstairs in my bedroom, and out in the apartment. So they'll all be here, and there's none of them that's been here before that we know except Brother Billy. That's the only one. And they want to come, and we're going to try to intercept them at Wilcox, meet them there, and take them up to Sunset, to Klondike, and see that, and then come in here Friday night. So forgive us. Maybe if you want to go and be with them, you could go to Sunset or something. We will. I don't know yet. Caleb's going to be tight. No, Caleb told me he won't be. Caleb, Johnny, myself, whoever it is, someone's have to go over there and help them all. But they'll be around Saturday, and we'll let you know what's going on. God bless you. You're dismissed.